Are they in game?
Who do these guys think they are?
Are they out of game?
And the answer, of course, is no. No, 1,000 times, no!
Maybe our whole lives are a game.
Show me that smile.
Ooh, show me that smile.
It's the Lost Experience Clues podcast at thelostexperienceclues.com. Now, here are the guys that designed the third basement to be so darn comfortable. David Penuel, Daniel Milner, William West, and Patrick Haney.
All right, guys, we are back, and we are really excited about this week's podcast. Unfortunately, that awesome intro number 4 sent to us by our friend David. David, thank you again for that. That was awesome. It included two names of people that are not with us today. I'm David Penuel.
And I'm Daniel Milner.
And William West, Patrick Haney, Jeff Parker even, all non-existent today. We had some... a busy week going on, and so it is just the two of us, but that does not mean this podcast isn't going to be the best one yet.
I agree. This is definitely going to be the best podcast, not just our best podcast, but the best podcast in the history of podcasting.
The best ever, and Jack Black's put out some pretty darn good ones for the Nacho Libre.
Jack who?
Jack Black?
You lost me.
See, I've seen Nacho Libre twice already, and I was an idiot. I forgot Superman was coming out last night, and I agreed to go to the movies at 9:30, and nobody cares about this.
Sucker!
I watched Nacho Libre a second time, but it was especially delicious this time. That was a Mexican accent for all of our Mexican listeners out there. Anyways, Daniel Milner, David Penuel here with you, and we're going to kind of scrap our whole, like, hey, you know, eight topics and whatever. We've just got several things we want to talk to you guys about, each of them interesting in their own right, and we hope you appreciate it. I'm going to start us off talking about something that's a little bit not quite information intense. I know you guys love information intense, but I feel like I would be irresponsible if I don't address something right off the bat here. And here's what in the world, our iTunes thing is still going. Wow, that was weird. Here's what I want to talk about right from the beginning of the podcast is how the people that are playing this game or that are engaging in pursuing the truth about the Hanzo Foundation and all of that, the people that are in our comments furiously researching and solving clues, how are we doing at balancing playing this game and the rest of our personal lives and our work lives? And I know that's kind of a weird thing to talk about on this podcast, but I feel like, I have a pretty strong conviction that we would be irresponsible if we didn't at least, you know, ask people to consider that and address it. And here's why I say that. Just for me personally, you guys know I was at Estes Park, Colorado this summer for a week. I just got back from doing some relief work in New Orleans for about a little less than a week. I'm heading out tomorrow to go to Oklahoma, after which I'm going to Florida, after which I'm going to Possum Kingdom Lake, after which I'm going back to New Orleans for more. I'm going to be all over the place, and I'm trying to keep up with this game, and I'm also trying to keep up with my marriage, my friendships, and my job. And we all have things like that in our life. At least I hope you guys do. And how are we doing at finding a balance? And I say this because I've gotten some emails. I got an email from a guy that said, hey, I like this game more than my job, but the game doesn't pay the bills or keep my fiance happy. So I have to juggle the game with everything else. But this person was saying, hey, summer's a slow time of work, so this is giving me an outlet for my creative juices, and I'm having fun. My fiance has said I've done a good job at balancing and all that. And that's someone that's done a good job at balancing. I noticed in our comments just yesterday, people said, you know, right as I'm leaving work to go home, new clues always seem to come out and it kills me. And then the next morning at work, I have to spend 3 hours catching up on the clues. I just go, man, that might not be the best thing for some people's jobs. Daniel, I know you've been really busy lately. How's it been for you?
Yeah, it's interesting. I've become very acquainted with my Alt-Tab combination there. And I was kind of thinking about it this week because I've been checking in a lot. It's been a lot tougher with this second act starting, where we have all these just frequent updates all the time. And it's kind of funny. I've come a little closer to being quote-unquote caught, I guess, at work.
Right.
And it's kind of interesting. I was thinking about it today, just what would I say to my boss if she asked what I was doing, you know? I mean,
What would you say?
Well, there's this girl, and she's trying to expose this corporation that isn't real, but they say it is, and there's a monkey that's old. I mean, where do you start?
It's an orangutan, actually. Monkeys have tails, and orangutans, apes, is an ape, and they don't have tails.
Right, I'm sorry for anyone that I offended with that.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, it is just such a convoluted game that trying to explain it to anybody that hasn't really been following from the beginning is an exercise in futility, and it's also a really good way to make yourself sound ridiculous.
Yeah, everybody at my work knows what I'm doing, and they it's funny that they not only make fun of me all the time, but also, you know, kind of passive-aggressively question my ability to complete the tasks that my job requires me to complete, if that makes sense. Honestly, I'm honest with them, and I'm honest with you guys and my friends and things like that. Sometimes my work suffers, and sometimes my personal life suffers for this game. And you know, I've been having a good enough time that for the minimal amount that things have suffered, I think it's been worth it. But I want everybody just so I can feel like I'm being responsible, ask yourself the question, take a second to reflect, is all the time and energy I'm putting into this thing for this summer worth it? And I don't think we're going to make anybody mad if we take an hour break and spend some time with some friends, or if we take a couple days off and go on a vacation and we don't check in. I think that's going to be okay. We're all in this together. We can catch up when we get back, play along, have fun. It's not going to throw anybody out of the loop. And you know, I know a guy on our deal that had a car accident and then has had to have some wisdom teeth removed, and he seems like a really good guy. And he's been frustrated that he hasn't been able to be involved more. And I said, hey, bro, take it easy. We'll help you catch up whenever you need to. But guys, you know, give yourself permission to chill and balance your personal and work life. And don't get fired from your jobs for this. Ruin your family life for this or anything like that. And a lot of people are doing a great job of that. And I've talked to some folks that are. And I just wanted to be responsible and say, hey, if you're spending a lot of time on our blog, you know, make sure that you're spending a lot of time doing the other things in life that really matter. That's all I have to say about that. I feel better now. And you guys give me grace, give me patience when I am in and out of pocket, because the rest of the summer is going to be crazy for me. Daniel, you told me you had something you really wanted to talk about. And should I give you a fanfare?
I'm always up for a fanfare.
Okay, that was a really weak
one.
Yeah,
that was, I don't know if that was barely a fan.
Here, I'll see, I'm barely a fan. I'll try this one.
That's
much
better.
Daniel, what's going on? And well, by the way, we haven't done the
okay, still here.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, it's been an interesting last few weeks here with this second act of the experience starting. And we're kind of a little ways into it now, and I feel like we've got a good idea of how the feel and, you know, this part of this act is going to go. Basically, the first act, just to recap, was a fairly scheduled approach. I mean, we had the Hanzo website. Basically, every week, every Tuesday, there'd be a new hack released, and it would reveal something about the Hanzo Foundation, an executive member, the foundation itself, so forth.
Which, by the way, oh, sorry. It's me, David, the only other person in the room with you.
Wow.
Oh, we're idiots. Which, by the way, about all those hacks, there's an awesome summary on the research blog, the Lost Experience Research.blogspot.com. I think Thrasher did it, that reviews each kind of project and section of the Hanzo site and what was revealed to us there. Just want to throw that
right
out there.
Right. No, not at all. So that was the first act. It was very scheduled. The clues took, you know, hardly any time at all to solve. Usually it's just a matter of how long someone can decompile a flash until we were there. Now we're into the second act, and it's a lot harder, at least for me, to follow. We have sometimes daily updates from Rachel Blake. She's commenting inside her comments. She's pulling things from her comments. People in her comments are giving her clues, supposedly. I mean, it's a lot more of an interactive experience in that sense.
And she's posting her videos all over the place.
Right.
And
it's a little more of a real-world feel there in terms of how these things – I like the last one especially, how – It was on the Jeep website, and it looked like just any other corporate website. And navigating through it to a certain spot, all of a sudden there's Rachel Blake, post number, I don't remember what number it was. But I really like the integration there on the, on this act.
Right. I want to know who was – I want to know if somebody was ever out there, like, shopping for a Jeep, and they were trying to check out the flashlight, and they got that video and were like, what the heck is this?
I don't know. I really hope that I get to see that at some point in my life, although the odds aren't good. But, you know, that's kind of where we are at this act. It seems like now we kind of have an idea of how it's going to go. And, you know, I'm not sure where she's going to take us with this story and what's going to happen to her. But that seems to be how this act is going to play out. We've heard before that this is going to be a three-act story this game is going to present. And so now that I feel like we've got a good idea of how the second act is going to go, I think it's an interesting topic to start looking at how this third act is going to play out. I think that we're going to see in the next few weeks – we need a sound for some kind of crazy theory. I don't know what that would be.
A crazy theory sound? I've got one. How about
Nice. Nice. Okay, so this is my crazy theory. I think that over the next –
Did you say crazy theory? Sorry.
Yes, I did. Something that I'll never say again. So my idea is that over the next few weeks, we're going to see Rachel Blake stop posting, maybe get kidnapped. Something's going to happen to her. I feel like she's taking a lot of risks, and eventually they're going to catch up to her, and she's going to disappear out of this game with the same format she's doing now.
I bet it's going to be within. It's going to be towards the end of this 48-day segment. Remember I said the
48, right.
So.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's how this act is going to end. That's going to be the cliffhanger. Much like the Hanzo site shutting down was the end of the first act,
yeah.
I think Rachel getting shut down, in effect, is going to be the end of this act. And I think the way that this is going to wrap up is it's our job, or everyone who's been following her's job, to help find her and help make sure she's okay. As to what format that's going to be, I don't know whether it's DJ Dan stepping up or, you know, who that's going to be. But,
it's going to be me.
Okay, well, there you go. You've heard it here first. It's going to be David.
No, you know, I really do. I'm just now hearing this for the first time, what you're saying, and I guess since I'm talking, I have to. But I really do think that's a great idea, Daniel, that it's kind of like you're saying, maybe they're training us, these first two acts, on how to engage with the experience and how to engage with each other. And in the third act, they're really going to leave us, they're going to give us everything we need to succeed. And they're going to leave us on our own to figure it out. And we are going to become the characters, in essence, that are trying to figure out, A, you know, where's Alvar Hanzo? B, what happened to Rachel Blake if she ends up getting kidnapped or whacked or whatever? And how do you think this is, though, Daniel, how do you think this is going to tie into the show Lost? Because I think it will kind of connect back in.
Well, I'm sorry for our listeners. I have to say one more time. This is another crazy theory.
You said it. I'll try a different one.
More of a build-up. I kind of like that one.
Yeah.
Another idea would be that Rachel Blake is going to end up on the Lost Island. And we're going to see her next season on Lost.
So there will probably be a lot of continuity problems with that. I mean, we're looking at our timeline on the research blog and... if we, you know, one of the problems with that, I just thought of right off the bat, which everybody kind of knows, is they've only been on the island for a number of days, although they were supposed to crash there in 2004, and we exist right now in 2006. Do you think they'll just kind of hope that we'll ignore that, or are we playing? Is the ARG occurring? ARG, yeah. Is the game occurring in 2004? Not because her blog posts are dated.
I have more faith in the writers than to think that they would just expect us to ignore that that time discrepancy. But, you know, these are the same guys that brought us polar bears on a tropical island. I'm pretty sure if they wanted Rachel on that island, they could find a way to get her there.
Right. That would be cool. And maybe we will find a location of the island. That will be the end of Act 3. I don't know. That's all I got for that. Okay, now it's time for us to shift gears, move on to the next thing. We'll give you guys a little bit of a fanfare to help us do that. I'm going to now talk about something that I chatted briefly about in the comments. I've believed, for, and you know, the Ninja, and Speaker. Those guys are debating about whether or not Rachel equals Persephone, and some people said, oh, this is really inconsequential. Who really cares? It doesn't really matter. I think it really matters, and it's very important for us to realize that Rachel is, in fact, Persephone. I believe that she is, and I think it's important for us to know that she is. And Daniel, help me out with this. See if my thinking's wrong. But if we don't know for sure that Rachel is Persephone, then who is Rachel, and how do we know that we can trust her? I mean, I guess she could just be a former employee of the Hanso Foundation that, you know, worked alongside Persephone or didn't work exactly alongside her, but they were working around the same time, and she's doing the same thing. But it just seems odd to me that they would have so many things in common, and they wouldn't be the same person. And we know that we can trust Persephone because of all the hacks and information she gave us. How could we know that we can trust Rachel? That's my question.
Yeah, you know, I don't know that we do. Honestly, looking through some of her posts, she's pretty cryptic about her motives as to why she's doing all this. So as far as why she's trustworthy, I don't know that we have any good evidence for that yet.
Well, I think we do because I think she is Persephone.
Okay.
So I think we can trust Rachel. Here's my argument. Rachel said in her blog that she worked for an evil megalithic corporation. I think she wants us to assume that that's the Hanso Foundation. I could be wrong. But Persephone, we know, worked for the Hanso Foundation. She told us that. I've always worked for criminals. Is that what she said? Or you know, criminals have always been my boss or whatever. So Rachel believes that the Hanso Foundation executives are criminals. And so she is pursuing them. Persephone also believes they're criminals. Persephone was the one in the upside-down, weird face with the scary music box deal. That thing freaked me out, still freaks me out. Gave my wife nightmares. She gave us the password, Evident Agenda, that led us to Rachel's blog. So if they aren't the same person, they are working together somehow. Some people think Persephone was captured or killed, and Rachel took over for her. What's the point of that? Rachel does acknowledge Persephone in her first video post, but she does it, in my opinion, in a coy tone with a mischievous grin that's telling us the hacker Persephone, meaning me, and I think we have audio. Do we have audio of that, Daniel? Can we play that?
Yeah, which one do you want?
Whenever she was doing her post and she mentions Persephone, when Rachel mentions... You don't have that?
No, we don't. We have the Hanso audio.
I thought you got the one where she says the hacker Persephone.
No, we have, let's see here.
Where is Oliver Hanso?
Okay, we have those. Okay, well, we'll get back to that then, because that's the part where I'm saying I feel like their voices sound exactly the same. So do the voice comparison deal.
Okay, this is, we're gonna do the long versions here first.
Okay.
This is Rachel Blake, long.
Oliver Hanso? Head of the whole outfit, he's missing. And by missing, I mean missing.
Okay, here's our Persephone long.
Where is Oliver Hanso? What have they done with him?
Now, okay. What was that from? That was from the original phone call that we got from the phone number from the original Hanso Foundation ad that ran on ABC.
Right, so clue number one, basically.
Clue number one, somebody hacked that phone call, and that's what they said. So play that long clip again so they know what that is.
Where is Oliver Hanso? What have they done with him?
Okay, that's the person on, and that's the same voice that broke into the phone and gave us Breaking Strain password. And so now let's listen to, this is Rachel Blake on her first post. Here's what she sounds like.
Oliver Hanso, head of the whole outfit, he's missing. And by missing, I mean missing.
Okay, now let's just hear her say Oliver Hanso in each.
Oliver Hanso? Where is Oliver Hanso?
To me, it's the same person. Now, they're of course different inflections because they're asking different questions. It's a different context, but to me, it's the same voice, Persephone and Rachel.
Yeah, I would love to play the opposing guy on the podcast and disagree with you, but I think they sound identical as well.
And you guys, since we don't have it, go back and watch her first video post when she mentions Persephone, and it's mischievous. Like she. the hacker, Persephone, she doesn't say if she knew Persephone was killed or caught, she would have said it in a sad tone with a sad look that she was upset or like in memory of Persephone. But she says it in a cute and clever way. And also, you go back to the conversation that she had on the Let Your Compass Be Your Guide site in the trash bin, and she used the name Openers Hep, which is, you know, a anagram for Persephone. People said, oh, she did that as a tribute to Persephone. If she was doing it as a tribute, why wouldn't she use the name Persephone Tribute or I Heart Persephone or Persephone Rules or whatever? She wouldn't. And also we have clue number 23 on our site, which is kind of cheating in the ARG rules. That was right at the beginning. This guy didn't know it was cheating. Andy decompiled the flash, and they named the first clue on the Jupe's Corner. They named that thing that said, the Hanso Foundation, setting world records for subverting authority. They named it Rachel because that was Rachel's voice, and it was also Persephone's voice. Rachel and Persephone are the same thing. Speaker, if you're listening, are you convinced? I'm going to try to ask the ninja about it and see if he has any more he wants to add. All right, there's plenty of debate about that, but I think it's really important for us to all agree on that. Daniel, you want to talk about anything else?
Not on that regard. I think you pretty well covered it. I mean, the evidence is definitely there for that voice sounding identical, in my opinion.
Thank you. Speaking of voices.
Speaking of, once again, we have David. While I'm introing this, if you can go ahead and get the Skype number going there.
Okay.
We have another huge, huge interview this week. We've had some, you know, we've had Persephone on before. I wish I would have been able to ask her about Rachel then. We've had some Hanso execs on. This week we have our favorite faceless Inside the Experience blogger speaker on with us. David, do you have him with us?
Whoa, I actually do.
Okay. Let's go ahead and get started here. Speaker, thanks for coming on with us. We really appreciate it. Where did the name Speaker come from?
Hang on, we lost him.
Oh.
I'm so sorry. How did you manage to get the speaker anyways?
You know, it's kind of the same as the other ones. I really can't reveal how I'm getting these. It's part of the confidentiality agreement that I signed when they came on.
Man,
so.
The speaker is uber cool over there on InsideTheExperience.com. He gives us great clues. He's one of the best collector of clues. He gets them, seems like, before anybody.
Yeah, you know, the other day he told me that Gary Troop is actually an anagram for purgatory.
Bro!
Yeah,
dude,
I know.
Speaker,
I know.
Thank you.
He's got the inside info.
That's incredible. Okay, we got him back
on. Okay, we got him back. All right, let's try one more time. Speaker, thanks for coming on. Really appreciate it. Where did the name Speaker come from?
It was a cruel joke. Like you may call a large person, tiny or David a muscle-bound behemoth. My lack of vocal cords made me the source of much ridicule as a child.
Really?
A cruel joke?
No, idiot. Of course not. Could you not detect the sarcasm in my tone?
Okay. Let's talk about your blog. What's been your favorite thing to blog about so far?
I like blogging about Rachel Blake.
Really? Rachel?
Yes. It is part of our deal. The more I promote her, the less child support I have to pay.
Wait, what? What child support?
Oops, I shouldn't have said that. Next question.
Wait a minute, you're paying Rachel Blake child support?
Next question. Next question, or I walk.
Okay, since you won't budge, back to the topic of your blog. How did you get started with the blog at such a high-profile location?
It had nothing to do with the child support.
I didn't say anything about child support.
It had nothing to do with the child support.
Okay, I know. I didn't say anything about that. Why are you bringing that up?
Next question.
Okay, this interview is going great. Okay, here's a question for you. Do you think that the NBA will take any action against the referees who clearly stole the finals away from the Dallas Mavericks with their biased one-sided foul calling?
I am pretty good at foul calling. Listen, bok, 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 bok.
No, foul calling, foul. Never mind. Here's a simple question. Mountains or the beach?
Well, beaches have sharks, but mountains have bloodthirsty wolverines. So I am going to have to go with the marshlands of Louisiana.
You're afraid of sharks and wolverines, but you're not afraid of alligators?
California.
Earthquakes.
The open plains of Texas.
Africanized bees.
Perhaps I'll just live on an airplane.
I hear they sometimes get infestations of snakes.
Next question.
Okay, if you could change one thing about yourself, what would it be?
I would have never broken up with Rachel.
You miss her, don't you?
No. I miss my TV, my house, my dog, my Mustang, my money.
Okay, that's enough. Well, since you seem to be so close with Rachel, can you finally tell us once and for all if she's Persephone?
No.
No, they're not the same person?
No. I meant, no, I can't tell you. Did you see what she did to the guy in her room? What an arm. And all he did was touch a few things. I value the back of my head.
Okay, I'll switch gears again. You mentioned a dog. Do you have any other pets?
Yes. I have a cat.
Oh, that's really sweet. What did you name him?
The Lost Ninja.
Wait a minute. You named your cat the Lost Ninja? I'm sure he must have been flattered.
You should have seen the cat's mama. She was so fat that she made the real Lost Ninja's mom look like Lindsay Lohan.
Oh my gosh.
It seemed apropos.
All right, that's just mean.
Hey, God, say that again, speaker.
Dude, you should have seen the cat's mama. She was so fat that she made the real Lost Ninja's mom look like Lindsay Lohan. It seemed apropos.
Okay, seriously, that's really uncalled for.
Don't make me bring yo mama into this.
Alrighty then. What was that next question? Oh yeah, from your bio picture, you look very similar to that guy that used to dance around the iPod commercials. Did you do any TV work before Inside the Experience?
That is my cousin, Benji. He is a dancing fiend. I did do a commercial for jewelry once. I still remember my one line, every kiss begins with K.
Okay, that's a big start there. Speaking of your bio picture, what's with the white glasses? Are they prescription, or are you just making a fashion statement?
They're to hide my secret identity. It's like Clark Kent and Superman. As soon as the glasses come off, you would all instantly recognize me for who I truly am.
Really? Who are you?
Alan Thicke. Oops. I shouldn't have said that.
Wait a minute, really? You're Alan Thicke as in like the dad from Growing Pains?
That's it. This interview is over.
No, wait. I'm sorry. It was just a joke.
Dude,
speaker, are you
up.
There?
Dude, he hung up.
Wow.
Dude. That was incredible that you got Speaker on. He dissed Lost Ninja's mama. He referenced several pop culture, just like he always does on his blog. That's weird.
And apparently he has a very unfortunate name. Alan Thicke. I'm sure he didn't get teased growing up.
Alan, man. Alan, first of all, I admired your work on Growing Pains. Second of all, you're doing a great job on your Inside the Experience blog. All right, lastly, I wanted to close up with one thing. A lot of people have asked me to explain what went on this week with...
Yeah, what all happened with this sit on a monkey and Save Juve stuff this week?
A lot happened this week. I was in New Orleans, and, if you were playing along, you saw... I'm basically associated with... Save Jupe, as you guys, if you listened to our podcast in the past, I said the idea on the first podcast, and I bought the domain, and then they have the domain for me, and then they took off and did their thing with SaveJupe.com, and then they contacted me, and here's what happened. I came up with and built SitOnAMonkey.com with my personal group of friends. It existed before the Lost Experience began. You can see the comments on the picture number 23 for verification. You can't fake blogger comment dates. I've had this thing since before the experience began. It was a random joke between my friends. SaveJupe.com decided that they needed it. They needed to use it to further their pursuit of truth about Jupe. And when they realized that their site was likely to be in trouble with the Hanso Foundation, they told me they needed to use mine because they knew about it. Now, of course, I want to save Jupe. So I said yes to the request, changed some of the text on my blog to make it less of an inside joke and more of Save Jupe theme, so I could help out with the cause of Save Jupe. SaveJupe.com has been very careful about their communication at this point, and it makes sense if they feel like they're in danger from the Hanso Foundation. I think it's totally cool the way they've used my SitOnAMonkey.com blog, and I hope they continue to use it in the future. If you're listening, we want to do whatever we can to help Save Jupe. I'm not sure that they're going to be able to make good on the whole Tanzania expedition to find Jupe thing. They mentioned that in the comments of the blog, but I guess that we'll have to wait and find out. Please understand this. Everybody understand this. The Lost Experience Clues.blogspot.com. That blog has never been and will never be compromised from its original vision and values, which is to help progress the Lost Experience by telling as much information as we can gather from other people. We're never going to compromise that. Daniel, you know, this sitonamonkey.com thing was totally my deal, and we were so busy, we didn't really talk much about it. Did I explain that well, or do you have any questions related to that, or frustration? There was some frustration in the comments. I hate that. I don't want to frustrate people, but...
No, I mean, I read the frustration, too, and I understand. I mean, a lot of people have a lot invested in this game, and if they feel like we're trying to deliberately lead them astray or something, I can understand they're being angry about that. But, you know, guys, I would just encourage everybody to remember this is a game, and, you know, I understand putting time into something and being frustrated if it doesn't pan out, but there were some really angry comments in there. And, you know, this really, at the end of the day, is just for fun. And kind of like you were talking about earlier, it does take up a lot of our lives right now, but sure it doesn't make up our lives. So,
well, I'll tell you this. When they asked if they could use my blog, sitonamonkey.blogspot.com, one thing I said was, I don't want this to be I really don't know where they stand. I can say it honestly. I just don't know. I have suspicions and ideas, but I said I don't want this to be another St. Sebastian Hospital. You know, remember that site where,
right,
I mean,
right,
it was like insane, but there was absolutely nothing there of any value. And I said, if this is going to be that, count me out. And I said, this is totally different. So that's all I can say about it. It's totally different. I would put it, though, right now in my mind, just so everyone knows, my personal opinion, I'm putting it in the same category as this Retriever of Truth stuff that's going on. I kind of feel like it's a little bit peripheral, and maybe we'll tie in somehow. Retriever of Truth, however, Rachel has used to post videos on, and I'll tell you this, I have yet to be contacted by Rachel to post videos on sitonamonkey.com. I don't know if savejupe.com ever was or ever will be. I have no clue. But the Retriever's Truth chatting, I feel like it's peripheral. It's fun. Save Jupe is fun. And speaking of that, Daniel, do you need to go? We got started late. I know you have something you need to be at.
I do, and I'm going to have to go ahead and sign out.
Okay, Daniel, give us a little honk on the horn, and I will wrap this bad boy up.
Thanks a lot. See you guys next week.
Okay, now it's time to move on. We have got a hilarious addition to the Lost Experience collection of data. And this one is an audio piece of information, and it is probably, quite possibly, my favorite piece of information we have collected. This is from a guy named Gate Kepa, and he has created some flyers to promote Save Jupe. He put the banner up on the Long Island Expressway, and now he has taken it to a whole nother level. He has written a song to Jupe, telling him to hold on, we're coming to save you. And this is an original song called Hold On Jupe by Gate Kepa. Enjoy.
By the Hansel Foundation when he was really young. And lived on tests on him to keep him unnaturally alive. The drugs and stuff, that's not good, y'all. So hold on, you. Hold on, you. Hold on, you. We're coming to get you. Hold on, little buddy. We're coming. We're coming to save you. We're saving Jupe.